You are listening to a Bible talk recorded at the 2014 Western Christadelphian Bible School at Manuka. This is an evening lecture given by Brother Sean Moynihan titled, Think on These Things.
It is a privilege to be here, and I am cognizant of many things. I'm cognizant of what a blessing it is to have this amazing fellowship around God's Word. And I'm also cognizant of the fact that I'm the only thing standing between you and ice cream. So I'm going to keep that in mind. So we are going to kind of have an opportunity now for me to problematize my practice as a disciple, especially around obedience. And I say obedience, not compliance, obedience. The kind of loving obedience that was demonstrated so powerfully by our Lord. Because in times of trial and stress, it's a challenge for me to obviously proofread my slides for me to focus on the positive as a motivator for obedience. It really is. You know, I'm great at the guilt thing. I'm semi-professional. But really focusing on the positive. And we're going to talk about self-regulation, and you know that's kind of a fancy edu-speak word for obedience. And really what the research is telling us is that it's really clear that it's important not just that we down-regulate negative things, but we up-regulate positive things. We think, in Paul's words, on these things. So I want to think on these things, but I find it challenging to do so. And I need your help to address this challenge. Therefore, we're going to get interactive. So we're going to use three cooperative learning strategies, think, pair, share, popcorn, and elevator conversation that I will ask you to participate in. And remember, there's no ice cream unless you participate. So I'm just throwing that out there. So this passage, right? So, you know, what do we think of right away? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So, you know, I think, wow, you know what I can do? I can do a word study. Alephese, that's a really fascinating word. Semnos, dikaios, hagnos, prosphilos, euphemos, arete, epanos, and logosomai. Now there are nine. I can spend 10 minutes on each one, so we're going to be out of here in 90 minutes tops. But you know what? Seriously, we're not going to do that. And you know why? Well, there are many reasons why. But one reason why is that although word studies are great and they can be very powerful, for me and my discipleship, they become a way for me to not address the real issue. Because the real issue isn't my understanding of the Greek. The issue is for me is to put in practice what God expects of me. So let's take a look at this idea of self-regulation. So this is not my high school yearbook photo. This is Dr. Stuart Shanker, who's a world-renowned authority on self-regulation. Again, that's kind of edu-speak for obedience in the best sense of the word. He's at York University in Toronto, and he's really come up with some really, really interesting stuff. Okay, we're having a little bit of problems with the iPad here. Okay. So one of the things is that he's found that one of the most common mistakes is to confuse self-regulation with compliance. A child might behave the way we want because he's afraid of being punished or solely in order to obtain some coveted award, but this is not at all the same thing as the child who actually wants to behave this way. So, you know, he's a very practical guy, and you know, we understand that there are, you know, along our path, there are times where we'll comply, and that's on the path to obedience and loving obedience. But we shouldn't confuse compliance with obedience. And one of the things that he's found in his work is the tremendous power in doing two things. First, down-regulating negative things. So you can feel yourself start to get upset, and you have some strategies that you can put in place. But equally important is what he says is upregulating positive emotion. So how do you do that? What are the things that you can reflect on? How can you think on these things to really help you be obedient? And like I said, you know, in my life, I spent a lot of time exclusively here. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be there, but we need to be on the other side, too. And I'll give you a great example. You know, one of my problems that I've struggled with in my discipleship would be anger. So I thought the solution was, I'll memorize James 1:20. The anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. I memorized it from the RSV. I hope that's okay with you guys. And of course, just doing that alone was not enough, right? Because when things came up, it would be, the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. The anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. So, you know, there's more to it than that, right? There's more to it than that. And we know this, that that's exactly what we read about in Timothy and Titus, right? For God gave us a spirit, not of fear. And I'm not saying it isn't right to be fearful. You know, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God and to respect and awe the Lord above all. And so I'm not saying that. But really, this verse is very powerful. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And in Titus we read, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. You know, if we really understand grace, it motivates us to live self-controlled and godly lives. Waiting for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. So I really love the message. I love the message. And this is a great rendition. He says, summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you've learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. And, you know, it doesn't come across in other versions, but Paul's saying, look, do what I demonstrated. Do what I modeled for you about thinking on these things. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. So what are our challenges to upregulating? What are our challenges to thinking on these things, to thinking on the positive, to letting an understanding of things like grace compel us to live godly and self-controlled lives? So we're going to do a think, pair, share. So first of all, I'm going to ask you to think without talking. You're going to think about answering this question. Then you're going to pair up with someone. I recommend someone close to you. And then you're going to have an opportunity to share your response. So you'll have about 15 seconds to think. You'll have about 30 seconds to share, to pair off. And then you're going to share. And then you'll have an opportunity, if you wish, to share back with the larger group. So the question is, what are our challenges to thinking on these things, to upregulating positive thoughts? So I'd like you to think for 15 seconds. Okay, I can hear the ice cream melting, so we're going to cut that to 10. Could you turn to a partner, please? And could you share your response? What are our challenges to upregulating positive thoughts? Okay. Right, we're coming back in 10. In 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and we're back. So what are our challenges in thinking on these things and upregulating positive emotions? Are you familiar with the concept of wait time? Okay. Wait time is a teacher concept that the longer a teacher waits for the student, that is indicative of the confidence that the teacher has. So I have tremendous confidence in you folks. So do we have someone in the back?
Well, okay, first of all, one challenge is I'm not clear as to what up-regulating means, mm-hmm. and whether or not a positive thought, what I think might be a positive thought, is actually positive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what may be a negative thought may actually have a positive outcome.
Right.
So I'm confused.
Right. Well, I think it's fair to say that we're confused, but at a higher level and about more important concepts. So, I appreciate you saying that. Okay, next person.
What made my hand shoot up is I was going to say it's thinking like Marco's, yep. that is a challenge to upregulating positive thoughts.
Right.
But then to share our what we were discussing, it's the everyday struggles that we come into in our lives, the things that distract us and so forth, and to put it in biblical terms, the tares that our seed is sown among.
Right. Many of the things we were talking about in Brother Bruce's class today.
Yes. The news.
Right? Right? Yeah. Good point. Good. There, and Brother Bruce.
I think emotion has a lot of impact on our mm-hmm. positive thoughts. You know, right. if you're really ticked off about something, it's going to be pretty hard to
right.
move your thoughts around. And another thought that mm-hmm. I had mm-hmm. was that because you're behaving positively mm-hmm. doesn't mean you're having positive thoughts.
Right. It could just be compliance, right?
The difference between the thought and the action, I think, is another area.
Right. Thank you. Right, and I think later on we'll have some examples about those things as well, that it's not just sunshines and balloons, right? It's really the work of discipleship is focusing and aligning our thoughts. So I think we'll have one more comment, and then we'll move on. Yep, in the balcony. Right. Right. And that's a great point. Sorry, Kyle, did you get the very last word? Yep.
So I've had most of my career success, by finding problems. Yeah. And my life's been built around a reward system on focusing on the negative.
Right.
And so
right.
that's what I see.
Right.
And it becomes hard to turn that off sometimes.
Okay. So I think we're going to stop there. Here's what I kind of identified for me in terms of the things that I struggle with in terms of challenges to this. First, and I think this was, I think I heard Brother Mark allude to this a little bit, is that sometimes it's hard to get a sense of where your own thoughts and feelings are coming from and where they're headed. And so for me, a challenge is me. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would do, I do not, but the evil that I would not do, that I do. In my discipleship, the life that I have in my own mind, it's, and maybe you have a different experience, but to really be honest with yourself is a very, 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 very difficult thing to do. So I find sometimes I get in my own way. Another challenge is that, in our attempts to develop our characters and align our characters with God, there's such a gap, right? For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And, sometimes I think that I've get a solution to a challenge, and then it becomes another challenge. So I'll give you an example. Colossians 2, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. And, you know, because of the chapter break, we kind of end there. But, you know, the next statement, if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, which is exactly what we're talking about. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on things that are on earth. So this idea, touch not, taste not, handle not, this idea that we can, if we just follow a bunch of rules, everything will be fine, that's not the answer. The answer is to seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, and setting your minds on the things that are above. Setting your minds on the things that are above. So, what do we think about to kind of upregulate? Or to kind of think on the things that are above? To think on these things, the things that are noble and honest and true. So we're going to use a popcorn protocol. So that means that, you know, as soon as you think of something, you can stand up and say it. If you could be as brief as possible, that would be great. So to kind of model the popcorn strategy, if the question was, what kind of ice cream are you looking forward to having as soon as he sits down, you could stand up and say strawberry and then sit down. Vanilla, stand up and sit down. I could go on, but I sense you're grasping it. So, popcorn protocol. What do we think about when you want to think on those things? Think on the beautiful things. Just stand up.
Being grateful for what I have.
Being grateful for what you have. What Jesus did for us. Yeah.
The promise of hope.
The promise of hope.
The
beautiful creation. Scripture through music. Okay, awareness of the present moment. Right? Family, all in Christ. Okay, so we'll stop there. These are some of the things that I thought of, and they echo really what you said. And I'm going to share an example of two trials that were pretty significant in my life. One happened a few years ago. And it was something that happened to one of my kids, and it was kind of a thing of the most important thing in my son's life was removed, and that was very difficult. And you know, I think hopefully we're all spiritually mature enough never to judge another person's pain, because everybody's different. But this was very difficult. And then we're going to talk about a trial that I've had recently. So. This is a great picture. This is a picture of a biblical scene. What biblical scene do you think it is? The prodigal son. I love this picture. And it reminds me of a proverb that says, a father's happiness is equal to that of his most unhappy child. So it was pretty rough seeing one of my kids go through a very, very difficult thing. And, I became aware at that time that, you know, that I also struggle with depression at times. And there's a quote that really spoke to me, and I'm going to share it with you, and do with it what you will, but it spoke to my heart. Charlotte Anderson writes, "Depression runs deep in me, through my genes, through my history, through my heart. My family tree is a weeping willow. It is what it is. Sometimes its touch is so light, I barely feel the shadow of it. But other times, like now, it pulls me under like a leaf on a river. Learning to accept the push and pull of my sadness is something I'm still working on. So believe me when I say I'm not trying to be glib or minimize the very real pain and numbness that depression brings. But sometimes even I have to look up and realize how much good comes from bad. That idea of thinking on these things, thinking on the things that are above, even when when things are very, very difficult. And so I thought of the same kind of things that you did. I thought of who God is. What an awesome God we worship. Who loved us and gave his son for us. The Psalms, of course, are just resonant with this. The awesome sense of who God is, who our God is. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. And then I think about, in terms of upregulating, in terms of thinking on these things, what God has done for me. And there are tons of verses we could share, but, you know, again, the Psalms, my soul be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. And of course, from Romans 5, but God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, and some of you know me, and you know my background. And when I think about what God has done for me, and I think about the kingdom, again, the things that you shared are things that I too think of to kind of upregulate and think on those things, the kingdom. And we know that Jesus also used this as a way to get through some very difficult things. We read in Hebrews 12, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The kingdom's a real thing, and through God's grace, we'll be there. And I think about the saving work of Jesus. And Peter writes, since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. Again, that mindset that Jesus had. And although I made fun of Greek word studies at the start, I'm going to do a bit of Greek word study here. Arm is a really interesting word. It's hoplizo. Which is, you know, having to do with arms and armament and warfare. It was kind of the word that you would use to describe a professional soldier. It's where we would get our word hoplology, the study of warfare and arms and things like that. It's where the Greek soldiers, the hoplites, that word is related. So he says, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. If we arm ourselves with that same way of thinking, we are obedient. And as you mentioned, I think of my brothers and sisters. So I've had a recent trial at work because this is on tape and because my boss seems to be everywhere monitoring my activities. I'm not going to say much more. But it's been very difficult. And one of my colleagues is a sister, and her brother is a dear brother in our meeting who's going through a very grave illness right now. Going through a very grave illness. And you know what my brother did for me? He phoned me up and he said, I understand you're having a really hard time at work. We are so blessed to have each other. We're so blessed to have brothers and sisters that focus on supporting us as we walk towards the kingdom together. I mean, I just was so moved and so thankful to God that I had a brother that despite everything he was facing would think enough of me in terms of being focused on supporting other people. It's just an amazing act of unselfishness and love. And we read in Philippians 2, if you find any comfort from being in the anointed, if his love brings you some encouragement, if you experience true companionship in the Spirit, if his tenderness and mercy fill your heart, then brothers and sisters, here is one thing that will complete my joy. Come together as one in mind and spirit and purpose, sharing the same love. Don't let selfishness and prideful agendas take over. Embrace true humility and lift your heads to extend love to others. Get beyond yourselves and protecting your own interests. Be sincere and secure your neighbor's interests first. In other words, adopt the mindset of Jesus the Anointed. Live with his attitude in your hearts. Again, focusing the mind on the things which are above. So, in conclusion, we're going to use the elevator conversation protocol. So if you're able to, what I'd like you to do when I ask you is to stand up. And after we've done that, you have a chance to turn to a partner. And because we are action-oriented, it's not enough to know it. We got to do it. We got to think about it. We got to act on it. I'd like you to discuss the statement, I will think on these things by. I'll think on these things that are above by. And some of them we've already talked about and modeled. And so you'll start at the 15th floor, and I will count down the floors. So by the time you get to the first floor, that's traditionally the spot where people get off, and we will stop at that time. So this time I'd like you to stand up, if you're able to. And could you turn to a partner and begin the conversation? You're on the 15th floor. Go. You've just passed the 13th floor. You've just passed the 6th floor. Just passed the 3rd floor. You're coming into the 1st floor, and please sit down. So thank you so much, and thank you for indulging me as we try to make it more interactive with some cooperative learning structures. I'm going to begin where we started, and that is by taking a look at Philippians 4. Summing it up, all up, friends, I'd say that you do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies.